Hallelujah. You may have your seats in the house of the Lord. We are so grateful to God that we are in another year with an incredible opportunity to discover who He is and what He has planned for us. And tonight or today, I want to share with you something about His word that you might need for the rest of this year. Amen. Today, we start a new series called Everybody Matters. Would you look at your neighbor and say, hey, look at somebody and say, you know what? You matter. You really matter. You matter. Turn to the other side and say, I'm telling you, you matter. Now, finally, turn to the other side again and say, hey, give me $3 because that matters. That matters. Give me three. One, two, three. One, two, three. I'm just playing. You matter. You matter. You matter. You matter to God. Excuse me. Everybody matters to God. There's not a person here that was brought here that no matter what your sin was, no matter how angry God, no matter what messed up in your life, that no matter how things went south, God says it doesn't matter. He is not angry with you. He is not upset with you. He loves you and He beckons you to know this, that He is here for you. This is the only religion in the entire world where the King doesn't only ask us to come to Him, but He comes to us and He blesses us because He's so loving. And I need you to hear from the heart of God that He's here for you and He loves you. He loves you when you don't even feel like He's around. He is there. He's not moving. He's not going anywhere. He's made up His mind that you are worth it and He will fight for you. I have never met a God that can fight for you when you feel down and out, and all of a sudden He sends somebody, speaks a word to you right on time, and you go, dog, how did they even know? Because there's a God in heaven who's watching out over your life. When your enemies gather around you and they trying to get you fired off your job, and then all of a sudden God flips the script and the person trying to fire you gets fired. Come on. That's a God who fights for His people. When the doctor had already said, based on what we see, this is your diagnosis and prognosis, you might as well make some plans. And then God enters in while the doctor is sleeping and makes a change in your body and say, deal with that. And goes off. Everybody matters to God. Everybody matters to God. If you're here and your ears can hear the words that I speak, I'm saying to you, you matter to God. Do you hear me? Want everybody to put their hand up in the air. I want you to point that finger up high and then bring that thing down here and say, I matter to God. Take that finger, point at your neighbor and say, you matter to God. Then take that finger, point at the other side and say, don't you ever put your finger in my face. That ain't polite. We're in church. I'm just sorry. Listen, when we begin to understand that everybody matters in God, God wants you to understand, first of all, where you're located. I want you to think about the map of your life. Some of us have never thought about where we are right now, what our spiritual walk with God looks like right now. Are you on a mountain where everything is awesome? You can see clearly all around you. Everything's wonderful. Are you in a valley right now where you're hurting and you don't feel like anybody's there to help you? You feel like there's no sunshine down in this valley. Are you on a desert path where you're in the middle of nowhere and wondering, where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? Why am I even here? Are you by the cool, still waters where you know you just came out of a tragedy and God is refreshing your soul? Where are you right now on the map of life? Where are you? Has something drawn you away from God? Or is it that you're being drawn to God? to discover how much you matter to God, it determines first that you identify where you are, that you understand on the map of life, man, what's missing in my life? What is it? What is this? What is missing out of my life that I really need? And God in 2018 is not the one who ignores the truth. He wants you to deal with you first, to decide where are you. Because before you can plan your next step, you've got to know where you're located. Somebody say amen. Amen. If I want to get out of a valley, I got to know for sure I'm sitting in the valley and I've been in this valley for 2 months. I don't like being here. My friends don't like me being here. I don't like waking up here. I need to get up, find me some hiking boots and get up out of Dodge. Somebody say amen. Amen. If I'm up on the mountain, but I'm up there all the time and everything's good and glory, I need to realize that God has blessed my life and I need to bless other people because of it and not keep it to myself. If I'm down in the desert and I don't know where I am, I need to send out a beacon call so somebody else can come get me because I don't need to be out here all by myself. And if I'm by the still waters where God is refreshing my soul, I need to learn to open up my mouth in front of the world and say, Lord, thank you for changing my situation. Thank you, God, you came after me and I can now live again. Hello, somebody. Everybody matters to God. And if you're in any one of those circumstances, God wants you to understand, I'm in control of your life and I will take you where you need to be. I just need you to look to the hills from which cometh your help. Your help doesn't come from the IRS. Your help doesn't come from Buddha. Your help doesn't come from anybody else. Your help comes from the Lord, mighty and strong in battle. He will fight for your life. The drug addict that's out there saying, I can't stop snorting that cocaine. I can't stop doing that methamphetamine. God will come down and take the taste out of your mouth. There are people right now that are so deep in debt. They think, man, there ain't no way I'll ever get out of this thing. I might as well be drowning in money. It doesn't even make sense. I'm so deep in debt. And God has walked on the water. And I remember a day he went up to a Peter who was drowning in his own doubt and picked him up by the hand, lifted him up above the problem and had him walk on top of it to get back into the boat. There is no debt that's too big for God. There's no place you're sinking that can keep you because God is on your side. There's something about a real God. I'm not talking about a fake mythological, read a book, put the book down, pick it up when you feel like it. I'm talking about a God that is God whether you read about him or not, whether you serve him or not, whether the wind blows right or left, he's still God. He's still there. He's still moving. He's still powerful. He is God. But the thing we must understand, if we want God to move, we first must decide where we are. Where we are helps us say, God, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I got to do better. I want better. I got to feel better. Man, when someone makes me mad, I get too sensitive. Anybody ever come and say something to you, you just get mad? And words pop in your head like slap, run, you know? Duck and dodge, you know what I'm saying? No. You ought to be at peace. That surpasses all your understanding. So there's a place on the mountainside maybe you're at, but God wants to change your location. I want you to understand that in the Word, I need to speak to some of you that may be down in the valley and maybe in the desert, and I need to say this to you. Where you've been or what you've been does not determine your destination. I need you to understand, kingdom matters. I need you to see how God operates, not how the world operates, because the world will treat you crazy. Hello, somebody. You get stopped because you were 5 miles over the limit and you got a $250 ticket. That don't make sense to me. But God is fair. Watch this. Where you've been and what you've done does not determine your destination. Here's the good news. Your current destination or your current condition does not determine your end destination. I need you to read Jeremiah 29. We want to turn there in the King James Version. Now, many people have read this, but you need to understand the circumstances surrounding this text. In Jeremiah chapter 29, there was a season of disobedience by the people of God. And God was sending them into captivity. And sometimes this was a covenant people. And they were going into captivity. And God was saying, yeah, I know where you've been and I know where you're going. And sometimes even with us, we go through a period of disobedience to not only God, but to everybody around us. And we make it hard to live with. You know the one thing I love about the Bible? The Bible does not tell you how to change anybody else. The Bible's all about how to change yourself. Hello, somebody. You know, one of the things, you know, the Bible says, you know, listen, if your neighbor is angry with you, you wait and you go ahead and worship God all by yourself if your neighbor's angry. Somebody say amen. No, that ain't even in the Bible. That's not even in the Word. The Bible literally says the opposite. The Bible says, if you know that neighbor is angry with you, leave your gift at the altar. Go and make it right with your neighbor. Not the one, not that you were blamed, not that you did it. If they're mad at you, leave your stuff here because you don't know what's going to happen when they get out there in their anger and may lose their soul because of you. Get up, leave your gift, and go after the one that made you mad. What? They got on my nerves. They got on my Latin. There goes my last nerve. But the Bible always has us deal with us. He says, listen, if somebody's angry with you, then that tells me there's a problem. Go fix it. Well, that's not right. They started it. But who's going to finish it? Why? Because if God's with you, what are you afraid of? Go to your neighbor. Make it right. Then come back. Most people say, well, they ain't apologized to me, so I ain't going to forgive them. Man, if that was the case, none of us would be saved. How many of y'all apologize to God before he came after you? We all be in trouble. But see, God deals with us first. He doesn't point the finger at fixing them. He points the finger at us. And here's what he says. I want you to see this text, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10. It says, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years will be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you. Now, they are going through 70 years of struggle in a foreign land. They were taken captive into Babylon because of disobedience. Maybe there's some things we've done that put us in situations that we hate being in. But the good news is this. God has not forgotten you. God sees your circumstance. And I'm here to give you some good news. He says, listen, after 70 years accomplished in Babylon, I need you to know I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and causing you to return to this place. What was this place? This place was the place of promise that they gave to them, meaning no matter how bad it's gotten in your life, no matter how tough it looks, I can bring you back to the promised time of your life. I can bring you back to the milk and honey that was born to be yours. You don't have to be afraid because you belong to me. Everybody matters. I'll bring you back. Look what he goes on to say, saith the Lord. The thoughts of people, watch this. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil to give you what? God says, the way I think about you is always good. We think about ourselves as bad.
We feel bad about stuff we think and say and do, but God is love. He doesn't think like that. He thinks about, I'm thinking about the good stuff. You're looking about your failures. I'm looking about where your strengths are. I know what you can do. I'm looking at how good you are. I need you to stop getting down and get on up, somebody. I mean, I need you to do a James Brown move on me. Get on up. Get on up. Somebody hear me. Amen. Half the church knows and the other half doesn't. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, get on up. Turn the other side and say, get on up. Y'all said it right too. That was so good. Watch this. He says, when I bring you back, here's what I want you to do. Then shall you call upon me and shall go and pray unto me. And listen to what I'm going to do. I'm going to hearken to you. Well, you thought nobody listened to you. As long as the God of the universe listens to you, you are right. There are times where people shut you down, shut you off, think that you have no value because of something that happened in your life. That ain't God. He says, when you come to me and you come to talk to me, I'm going to listen to what you have to say. I'm going to be waiting for you to get down my number so I can pick up. I'm sitting at the phone waiting for you to call my number. Yeah, there's a crisis. Send some angels. I got that. But this is my beloved. They're hurting. I'm waiting on them to pick up the call phone and give me a call. How many of you have his number, but all you need to do is pick up the phone and say, God, I need you to help me right now. R-A-T, right now. I'm telling you, God will answer you. And listen to what he says. And I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me. And you shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And when you find God, this is the end result. I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. I will bring you back to your promise. How many want to get back to the promise? It's 2018. The world is going through chaos right now. We got people bragging about nuclear bombs. We got people threatening one another. There's confusion. But one thing isn't confusing. God's word is unchangeable, and it doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. No matter what it looks like on the external, on the internal, God is secure. And we know that we are his people. And every one of you in this place, if you can locate yourself on the map, that means you can get yourself right back with God this year and be able to hear his voice and begin to watch him move. My desire above all else is that every single person in this church will hear the voice of God. Do you hear me? I'm not just talking here. I'm talking, you stop, go, what was that? How many have heard the voice of God already in this place? How many? Now watch this now. I'm telling you, it's happening in the pews. It's happening in our church. People are getting, what was that? And they're hearing God give them supernatural direction. Why? Because it's not for the pulpit. It's for the people. Do you understand? God is for you, not against you. He loves you, and each one of you matter. No, don't come to church only. I got to get a word. You can get a word at home, in your closet, in your bedroom, on the job, in the car, driving down the highway. A word. God Almighty. A word. He's not limited to a building. When you come back to God, he will show up at your grocery store. He'll show up at your mama's house, your sister's house. He'll show up at a funeral. Good God Almighty, he will show up. Because this God I know, he says, my glory shall fill the earth. That doesn't mean fill only the church. It's the earth. My desire is that you understand how much you matter. You listen, you don't have to jump through a hoop You don't have to pay your last dollar. You can't earn this thing. When he gives you love, it's yours. Some of y'all don't understand how deep that is. When he gives you his love, he'll fight for you. All in the Word of God belongs to you. All of it. It's like a gift waiting for you to grab. If that gift was above your head, what would you do? Oh, we got a couple to understand. Some y'all confused. Yeah, see. Sometimes you got to do what looks silly in order to get what is solid. Hello, somebody. Come on now. Listen, I learned a long time ago when God speaks to me, I say what he says because it may sound silly to me, but it's solid with them. And I've seen people like this past week. We had a person's leg get healed. We had a person's muscles grow out. We had a word from the Lord of a God to a little child. God speaks and he does miracles, signs, and wonders. But if somebody doesn't step out with what looks silly to other people, then other people won't get what is solid to God. Faith is the substance of things unseen and the evidence. Woo! It's the evidence of God. Now, if God's gift was above your head, what would you do for it? Oh, there it is. Come on, do it again. Say, God, I want it. God, I want it. God, I want it. Whatever it is, I don't need to understand it, but give it up, God. Give it up. Listen, let me say this to you. Focusing on what you have and giving it to the Lord allows him to bless it. You all have gifts and talents in this house. Some of you are good with serving. You just love to help people. Some of you are good musically. You can play. Man, we need a guitarist. Man, why don't you jump on the band and help us play unto the Lord? There's some of you out there that've got an administrative mind. There's some of you out there that can speak to children and change their life. There are some of you that love the homeless, want to help people who can't help themselves. Everybody was born for a reason. There are some of you out there that have finances, and your gift to the mankind is you're able to give of what God gives to you. You should give freely without thinking about it. This is what God has given in the body, and all you have to do to be a minister is minister to the Lord what God has given to you. Somebody say amen. Each of us has been gifted by God to do amazing things, and God says you matter. We don't leave it to other people to do. We believe it's our responsibility to step up. I need you to understand this. That when you give to the Lord, everything changes. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. I'm going to tell you a truth. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We hear this verse, but do we understand that it is our verse? I need you to almost... You ever seen those horses and they have these things on the side of their face so that they can't see to the left or the right and they don't get spooked? For a moment, as we read this text, I need you to put one of those on right now and realize this word is yours. Okay? Watch this. Starting in verse 28. And we know that all things, the tragedy, the heartbrokenness, the sorrow, the misunderstanding, the celebration, the miracle, the promotion, all things work together for good to them, specialized people. Did you hear that? To them that love God. If you hate them, this don't apply. To them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. You can make a mistake, and God can turn that mistake around. Because he will even use the mistake the enemy thought to trip you up in to be your testimony now when you overcome. I know some people right now, their marriages are struggling, but when God brings them out, they'll be helping couples all around the world. Hello, somebody. I know some drug addicts that when God brings them out, man, they're going to help drug addicts get out and stay out. Hello, somebody. Watch this. He goes on to say these words to all of us, and this is for you to understand him. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed into the image of his son. What does that mean for you and I? That before you were born in your mother's womb, he knew you. I need you to get this one. This is life-changing. Before you were in your mother's womb, he knew you. He knew your purpose. He knew your destiny. Watch this. And he also did predestinate to be conformed into the image of his son. He says, I'm going to send you into the earth, and my desire for your life is that you look more and more and more like Jesus. I hear people that make this excuse. Well, I'm not perfect. Only Jesus was perfect. Hold on. Jesus only lived for 33 years. He could have done a whole lot more if he stayed alive. So you have an opportunity to even do more than him. He said, greater work shall you do because I go to the Father. So don't say that. Jesus says, you don't even know what you can do yet. And he says, watch this. If I knew you, and knew you and knew what you were going to do, even the mess ups, even the butchering of your own life, and I still sent you. You need to hear that. Why would God, people say, well, I want to end my life. Wait a minute. Why would you? God sent you knowing the crisis you would go through, knowing the problems you would make, knowing the trouble you would make for other people. And yet you were still good enough. He knew what you would do in the earth would outshadow the faults of your life. And he sent you into the earth. That means there ain't no sin so bad God can't bring you out. You are somebody to God. He knows you. There's nothing you can do that Jesus, that can separate you from his love. He sent you on purpose. And by discovering your purpose, you realize, man, I'm a soldier of the Lord. I'm a soldier, army of the Lord. I'm a soldier. I'm a soldier. I'm a soldier. That you were called to serve in the army of the Lord. And God doesn't make bad decisions. I need you to hear the truth of you. He says, I want you to be conformed in the image of my son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. But look at verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, meaning you, them he also what? How many are called in here? People think, that means I got to be a minister. Listen. Listen, calm down. If your gift ain't talking, it's all right. But he did call all of us. All, everybody say all. Look at your neighbor and say he called you and you and you and you. Yes, he did. He called you. That means he dialed your, he got your number. Hello, somebody. Before you had a phone, he had your number. Hello. Watch this. Them, if you're called, then he also justified you. Meaning, when he called you, he says, I'll pay the price. Justified means I'm going to stand in your gap so you can make it over the edge. I can stand to be your the sacrifice for everything you do wrong. I'm justifying you. Man can't justify you. Only God can. And he says, I justify you. And whom he justifies, them he will also glorify. Woo! Some of you have not seen. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. Nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Are you kidding me? That is why when God speaks over your life, it's always bigger than what you thought. Because you don't know you like he knows you. He's saying, listen, I'm going to send you around the world. And you're going, I ain't never been out of Eustis. I'm going to make you an incredible person. You go, but I'm from Wildwood. Just playing. And then he goes on to say this. Then what shall we say to these things? They want to say it with me. This next verse. What shall we say to these things? If God. Say it again. Say it again. Say it like you're mad about it. Come on. Now tell the devil, go. Who? Nobody. You know how excited I am? Because I serve a God who can beat anybody up. I got a bodyguard that will knock folk out. Hello, somebody. Nobody can stand before God. Nobody. And God has a plan for your life that he wants you to fulfill. And if you will release your gifts and talents to him, then you will see why you have your gifts and talents. Let's read on. Watch this. I need you to understand this is for you. Next verse. Let's all read this together. Next verse. Go. Go to verse 35. And watch this. And I want you to read with your whole heart this truth about you. Go. Watch this. Stop right there. Which one of these things can separate you from your God? Say it again. Say it again. So you mean to tell me that when you get in trouble, that can't stop God from coming? You mean to tell me that when you're in distress and your emotions are all broken and all down, that ain't going to keep God from coming? You mean to tell me when someone is treating you wrong and they're persecuting you, that God can still step in and validate you? You mean to tell me when you ain't got no money in your bank account and you're wondering how you're going to eat that God will provide the meal for you? You mean to tell me when you're out of your money and you don't have a home and you feel like you're naked in front of all men, God can cover you? You mean to tell me when the world is going through chaos, war is erupting, that God is still in the midst? You mean when someone's ready to threaten your life and take you out, God will stand before you? My God, he is able to keep you from falling. It's the truth. So with these things in mind, there's a truth that Paul the apostle understood, which comes in the very next verse. Read it. Watch this. He says these words. As in verse He says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. It looks like everything's coming after us. But then read on. Nay. See, he had to flip the script. Go back to verse 36. They wrote this as a way of thinking. Man, we are killed all the day long. We are counted sheep for the slaughter. And that's that negative mindset. What did Paul say? 7. Nay, that's a word we don't even use anymore. What do we use today? No. No. Or N-A-H, nah. Or better yet, Or it ain't happening, baby. It ain't happening. He says, listen, and all these things I just mentioned, we are more than conquerors. What? How can you be more than a conqueror? Because if Jesus has already overcome the world, then he's already conquered it. So all you got to do is stand there and watch him move. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. God wants you to give everything you have this year to him. He wants to use it. Now, I need you to understand that he's also on this journey that you're on in 2018. He's already given you provision. Provision more than enough. I want you to turn to Ephesians 4 and 7 as we get ready to close. Ephesians 4 and 7. Watch this. Ephesians 4 and 7. The suspense is killing me. Amen. Can we all read together? Read. Hold on. Read that again. Stop. Everybody matters. Every one of us, from this side all the way down up into the into the altar, and I see all you guys. Every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So no matter whether anybody else recognizes your potential, whether or not you're on television, whether or not you're given accolades, the truth of the matter is that God has given you something better than accolades. It's called grace. Grace is known as unmerited favor, but the interpretation of this word is the word charisma. Charisma. It is a spiritual gift of power. It's God's power, charisma, to do what he called you to do. Everyone has to have charisma in order to accomplish their purpose. And God has given every one of you, even the babies up, all, no matter what age you are, the charisma to do what God has called you to do, the power to accomplish God's plan in your life. You don't have to worry about the mistakes. You have to look towards the fact that he has already made provision for your mistakes and that the charisma he has given you has the power to help you get up again. Listen, the righteous falleth 7 times, and 7 times they get up again. That's charisma. Today, some of you, God is saying, I want you to understand, no matter what it looks like, you matter to me. You matter to this church. You matter to these people around you. Without you in this world, God can't perform what he called you to do, and we will lose out as a people. But you must discover where you are on your journey. And as we go through the series, you will discover what it means to be someone called of God and what that looks like in your particular life. But right now, it's all about rededicating that life to him. Would you stand to your feet, please?